Well, I have a question to begin with, and this is something that we go through from time to time, think about. But how often do we take things for granted, especially the simple things that we need? Do we actually comprehend the simplest things we utilize, and are we aware of, wondering perhaps to ourselves how these necessary tools are so vital in our lives? A simple thing like electricity, for example. Most people do not understand what it is. But what do we know about it? We simply turn on a light switch, or we start any appliance, or we push a button, and then something works. We don't think about, oh, how does this work exactly, try to figure it out. No, it's something that we have, that we are used to, and we use it, but we don't question how it really works. But on the contrary, it's only when there is no electric power available that we start to consider the importance of it in our daily, personal, and working lives. However, without electricity, we would be burning wood and coal to heat our homes and businesses, and be using oil and candles to light our way in the dark. We don't do that today, but that's the way it was done for many centuries. Years ago, before electricity was invented, I think back in the biblical times, the Old Testament, they didn't have electricity then. Only since the invention of the electric generator have humans been able to advance in every aspect of modern life. In fact, modern living is defined by electric power. The advancements in technology is something else many take for granted. Just look how far we've come in the past 20 years. Even in the past 10 years. It's amazing what we can all do with our phones today. But again, it has its limits because without power, they become useless. And this goes for many things that we have today. Our cars. Do we think about how they really work? Unless you're a mechanic, you would know those things. But the average person doesn't know that. You get into a car, you start it up, and you expect it to start. Unless you have problems with your car. But ordinarily, those are the kind of things that we take for granted. Those are our transportation. Airplanes. Who would have thought a huge machine like that, that could take off and float or, fly through the air? Something we don't think about. What the actual, the way it actually works, unless you're an aeronautical engineer. But those are the type of things that people take for granted. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but do we really come to think about how these technological advancements and the automobiles and the airplanes that we have, how much use they are for us today? So when it comes to electricity, going back to how we take those for granted, have you ever been through a blackout? And you quickly come to realize how dependable we are when it comes to electricity. And we've all been through a blackout before, and not even a day goes by and the panic really starts happening, right? But these are many of the physical things we've come to appreciate and have been able to use for our benefits. And yet, there is something else that is difficult to comprehend. The very thing that we all depend on and is vital in our lives, and that is the title of my sermonette. That is the power of God. God is without limitations in everything. He is so powerful and infinite in all things, how could we possibly understand and take this all in? It's difficult. How can we? How can we comprehend that? But we can comprehend it to a certain extent because God has revealed himself through the Bible so we can understand his power to do anything thought by man to be impossible. He tells us in Jeremiah 10, verse 12, that he has made the earth by his power. He has established the world by his wisdom. And has stretched out the heavens at his discretion. He has given us what we need and has replenished what the earth needs in spite of the destructive powers of both Satan and man. But we also know that in the end times it will get so bad that if Christ did not return, no man would survive. Matthew 24:22. We know who the ruler of this world is, none other than Satan the devil. And this does prove more evident in light of the recent terrorist attacks that we all have heard of. And this is, without any doubt, influenced by Satan, not God, as the terrorists claim that they are doing this for, but rather what they are doing is not for their God, it's for the God of this world, which, yes, is their God. They think they're doing the right thing or doing a good thing, and it certainly is not. We need help from the true God to overcome Satan. How can we receive that help, and how do we receive God's power, is a question. Remember what I said, that the simple things that we need and we all have is oftentimes taken for granted, and how vital it is in our lives. And when we were baptized, something happened to us spiritually which would change our lives for the better. This was an incredible gift from God, and it was for us to use and not take for granted. God has given us some of His power, His Holy Spirit, and we either use it or we don't. We do not have the capacity to permanently store the power of the Holy Spirit for use when we don't feel like serving God. It doesn't work that way. If we discontinue our relationship with God, we cut ourselves off from His power working in us. 2 Corinthians 4:16 tells us that our inward man needs to be renewed day by day. We do have a Q&A on the topic of the Holy Spirit, defining what it is. And in there we say that God's Spirit in us is not static. It must be used by us. God's Holy Spirit is compared with living waters. As living waters flow, so God's Holy Spirit within us must flow from us towards others. That is, others must be able to recognize the effects of God's Spirit within us. An example of that can be found in John chapter 4 and verse 10. This is when a Samaritan woman meets Christ. And so in John chapter 4 and verse 10, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Here the Spirit is compared with living water. And verse 13 and 14, read, "Jesus answered, said to her, 'Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.'" And also in chapter 7 and verse 37 through 39 is a promise that God has given us, where Christ says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." In verse 38, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, which those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So the point of it is an ongoing thing. As water continuously flows, so must the Spirit within us. As God's Spirit is to flow through us and out of us towards others, it must be renewed on a regular basis. And how do we do that? Well, that's through prayer. Just like we're supposed to be renewed day by day, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, we are ought to pray every day as well. And this is how we can be strengthened. And this is how we pray for God's Spirit to help us, for example, then that is how we are being renewed. So that we can be constantly filled with it. Let's also look at Psalms chapter 51 and verse 10 and 11. Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10. And David speaks to God as he did often, and he prayed often to him, saying, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness." Verse 10. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Notice how important this was to him. And David realized that, because the only way he's going to be successful is if God's Spirit was with him. Now he also points out the fact and understands that whatever God has given to him, as well as us, whatever he has given to us, he can also easily take away. And there's plenty of other scriptures which talks about the Holy Spirit constantly being filled. It should be Philippians 1:19. Ephesians 5:18, and again 2 Corinthians 4:16. So rather than quenching the Holy Spirit within us, we must be led by and follow the lead of the Spirit. We need God's power constantly to work in us. Just like the physical things that we depend on, like our cell phones, for example, imagine in this way. So those things, those material things, like the cell phones and computers and such, they need to be charged in order to function. And they all use a battery. When a battery is fully charged, it works at its full potential. But eventually, it will need to be recharged before it loses its power. So we, in the same sense, in that way, are that way. Since we need to be renewed by God's Holy Spirit. When we take the Passover, we are renewed, fully charged to live a life pleasing to God, continuing to live that way. And thereafter, we need a constant recharge. We don't just take the Passover one time, and we're all good to go. No, it's not like that. It's a yearly thing. It's a constant thing. We need recharging constantly. When we start to become weak, we need a boost. And if we do not recharge ourselves, we will slip away and lose all power. We can't let that happen to us, to wither away, but we must re-energize ourselves and allow God's Spirit to dwell in us. Now, when I was preparing this message, I came across tons of material on God's power. And at first I wanted to change it completely because there is a lot to say in the Bible when it comes to God's power and how he applies it in many examples through the Bible. And so what I want to do, this is an introduction of what I want to do, because I want to do a sermon on this because I found some interesting things that I'd like to talk about. And I plan to go on into this in more detail next time when I get the sermon next month. By revealing his absolute, unlimited power in many different ways.